Oh, hey, friends, this sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
They will be the most fascinating team of the offseason, even though they have zero primetime games in the regular season. And of course, we're talking about the Cleveland Browns. Welcome to the show. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We'll get to so much more basketball and NFL in just a moment. But this one caught our eye. Pearl, good morning. It's a little bit of a breakdown from Mary Kay Cabot about how the Browns are going to navigate these four quarterbacks that are on the roster right now with Kenny Pickett, Joe Flacco, Dillon Gabriel, and of course, Shador Sanders as QB4. So a couple things here. One, Shador did sign like a rookie deal, the 4 years, $4 and change million. But that's aside. It's going to be one veteran and one quarterback together on two separate fields. Mm-hmm. So Pickett and Dillon Gabriel on one field throwing two receivers, and then Shador Sanders and Joe Flacco on another field throwing to different receivers. The thought process, obviously, is veteran and rookie together, so that makes a lot of sense. And then secondly, they want to divvy up the receivers to make sure everyone gets a fair shot of throwing to both pro bowlers like Jerry Jeudy and David Njoku, and then throwing to journeymen also. So it's trying to be as even as possible. This makes a lot of sense. It doesn't make me love this quarterback room anymore, but it does make sense how they're splitting this up, in my opinion.
It doesn't to me. Why is Kenny Pickett starting? Explain that to me. Why is he number one on the depth chart, according to Mary Kay Cabot?
Well, he's number one on the depth chart. That doesn't mean he's starting week one.
Well, why is he number one on the depth chart? It should be this. And why is there any question about who's starting week one? This is Joe Flacco's team. You've got to throw out Joe Flacco. He's the only one out of that four who's proven anything in the NFL. And I know, again, we view Joe Flacco differently. He's 40. I have a perfect analogy for Joe Flacco.
Okay.
Boxing. He's an old George Foreman. He will get out there and he will throw massive uppercuts, and he's going to possibly throw for 300 yards a game. He might throw three picks in the same game. Mm-hmm. But I feel like Joe Flacco is obviously going to get the most out of this passing game because we saw it just 2 years ago. Kenny Pickett is already on his third team. And the two rookies are probably not going to be ready to go for the first game of the season against a really hard schedule. This is Flacco. I know you're going to, I think your counter might be that, you know, you want to tank. What's the point? What's the future of Joe Flacco? I think you have to go out there and at least take a swing with Joe Flacco because you have talent around him and you don't want to just let that talent wither away. You got to use Joe Flacco to start the year.
Joe Flacco?
My thought is not necessarily tanking, although they're going to have that Jags pick for next year, which who knows what the Jags are going to be. They may be great. They may be terrible.
Although that gives them a chance not to tank and get a high pick.
That's true. I think here's the, I don't think they're necessarily tanking. I do not.
Duval.
What I think is, that will never not be funny. What I do think is that I already know what I have in Flacco. I have no idea what's going on with Kenny Pickett. Is it possible that this is some kind of great reclamation project and he actually is a first round talent and maybe we get a bargain here and we get Kenny Pickett cheap and he can, you know, and do something. That's what I gotta see. So, yeah, I understand why he's QB1 right now. Well, they're going to give him a chance to prove that he actually can play in this league, because the other part is right now he could be tradable if he does look good in camp and someone else gets hurt, because he, at least guys were scouting him. No one has any clue what Dillon Gabriel is going to be in the NFL or Shador. This makes perfect sense to me.
Tradable for what?
I'm just saying if someone got hurt and they were desperate and if Kenny Pickett looked phenomenal in camp. What I'm saying okay. is... What I'm saying is, Flacco, you already know what you have. Yes. He doesn't even need preseason reps. This dude came off the couch and went 4-1 and guided the Browns to a playoff spot. This is the last dude who needs the reps. Shador needs them. Dillon Gabriel needs them. Kenny Pickett needs them. This all makes perfect sense to me. Now, you bring up a good point. The schedule in the beginning of the season for the Browns is bananas. Cincinnati at Baltimore, Green Bay at Detroit, Minnesota in Europe, at Pittsburgh, Miami at New England. That's all before your bye. Tough.
But there are some defenses that Joe Flacco can carve up in there. Cincinnati, Cincinnati's a terrible starting team. That could be a big game. Baltimore, the Browns torched last year. Baltimore's defense, you not usually a fast starter. Green Bay is pretty good, but that's in Cleveland. Detroit is very vulnerable. These are big Joe Flacco games.
Detroit could be healthy this year on defense, and that would change things.
I mean,
Aiden Hutchinson back.
It's going to be in Detroit. I feel like that would be a track meet, possibly. And then Minnesota's overseas. They're a good defense. And at Pittsburgh, then the schedule gets light. Yeah, I kind of think like these are the games you want Joe Flacco. I could easily see him having big games against several of those teams. Not necessarily winning the games because those offenses are sick.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he could have some decent production here. Kenny Pickett, I can't see that happening because Pickett has been around a little bit. You know, Steelers gave up on him like that. Yeah. Why do you think that was?
Well, the Steelers offense is nothing awesome. And I trust Kevin Stefanski more than I trust any of the last four coordinators who have been in the Pittsburgh Steelers program. So I'm not holding too much on that. They gave up on Pickett. He kind of weirdly, I think, kind of gave up on himself. I don't even know if we know the whole story there. But the thing about Flacco and why you don't start him, is he going to make it out of that gauntlet? He is 40. This dude's not mobile. He's big, but he's not mobile. So,
I mean, is he any more injury prone than any of those other guys?
Well, a 40-year-old guy who can't really move. Here's my question for you, though. It's just, this is actually setting up very well to me, maybe better for Shador than we may have thought, right? Him getting paired up with Joe Flacco, I think, is a smart thing. I think that the Browns are actually saying, listen, get paired up with Flacco. Learn from this guy. Like, I think they really are giving Shador a shot here. He's fourth. He was a fifth-round pick. We know he's got a lot to climb and a long way to go. But this seems like a good plan for him if he can take advantage of it.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That makes logical sense. I think that it's more of a hodgepodge situation where they're going to give all four guys a shot. I think this year is a tryout. And I'm totally not with the crowd on Dylan Gabriel. I feel like Dylan Gabriel was born to play in a Stefanski offense. I mean, he reminds me of pretty much every other Kubiak Shanahan quarterback of all time. Because if they have a run game, Dylan Gabriel is going to be perfect. First of all, he's a lefty. So I think he's going to be like Tua. He could definitely have a huge yardage season. Now, will he be vulnerable to big hits? Yes, probably. That is an issue. But I feel like Dylan Gabriel could really thrive in this offense too. And I think Shador could thrive in this offense, but I think they're going to definitely, don't you see three games for Shador, three games for Gabriel in the second half of the season?
Well, if the season's gone.
Yeah.
But I don't know, 17 games, is it ever really gone? Because you're looking at, even if they start off and it's terrible, then you got, you know, at the Jets, you're at Las Vegas, you get the Titans, you're at, you know, Chicago. I don't know if Chicago's going to be great. We could talk about that later. Seth Wickersham's going to join us, who's got all the details about Caleb Williams and his family trying to maybe finagle their way out of Chicago before the draft.
Oh, come on. You don't see all these guys get a chance in the season? This is the NFL where every quarterback plays by week 18. You know we're going to see both these rookies. Both.
Over under on how many quarterbacks start a game. Not appear.
What are you setting it at?
I'm setting it at 2.5.
Over. Yeah, it's definitely 2.5.
Three quarterbacks to get through a season. That means your season is on the brink of disaster.
It's not a good sign. The 2025 Cleveland Browns, they are already on the brink of disaster, and it's May. I mean, can we talk about the elephant in the room, too? The draft, next year's draft. So what's the point of spending too much energy on this if they just want to draft a quarterback next year, which I think is the prevalent thought around the nation?
I'll tell you why. I bet there's some pressure on Stefanski and Andrew Berry to not be a train wreck this year. I would think, you know, you had a high pick, you end up trading, you know.
You didn't take a quarterback in the first round.
No, I get it, but I think everyone was probably on board with that. And that's why they brought in Pickett, they brought in Flacco, and obviously Deshaun is a huge mistake that they made that they've owned up to now. We took a big swing and it ended up being a big whiff. I have to imagine no one feels really comfortable in the building, and this quarterback room doesn't exactly make me want to buy real estate in Cleveland if I'm a coach.
Well, I know what you're saying, but they didn't bring in Kirk Cousins. They didn't make a move.
They tried. He was spotted at a Cleveland Chipotle.
Are you sure?
I mean, there was talks there. Didn't Diana Rossini tell us that? But I thought Atlanta wasn't interested in moving him yet.
I mean, if Cleveland wanted Kirk Cousins, I'm sure they could have taken on some of that money. Why would Atlanta want to hold on to Kirk Cousins?
Why are they still holding on to him?
Because nobody wants that money. Like, nobody wanted to pay up for him yet. So I think basically Cleveland knows this is a risky season. I'll bet you that Andrew Berry's definitely could last another year. I don't know about Stefanski, but Berry is is entrenched there, and he's well thought of.
Okay, but
Cleveland,
that's fine.
Because they're idiots.
But here's the thing about Andrew Berry. If it wasn't Jimmy Haslam, the owner, who was making the Shador Sanders pick, then what are they doing? It doesn't make any sense. You and I said it after the draft. It's a silly, it feels a little silly. Now, it might end up being great. Maybe you need three or four quarterbacks to get through a season. Maybe Shador ends up being awesome. It could save them, but the process of that was really, didn't seem right.
No, I think it's just a fifth-round pick. It's a total risk. You know, I'm not sure any fifth-round pick has ever made it at quarterback. This is a flyer. So this whole season feels like a flyer.
Yeah,
quarterback.
But, bro, let's live in reality.
You just described one of the worst quarterback camps we've ever heard of.
I know, but you're acting like Shador Sanders is just like any other fifth rounder, and not true.
He would have been a late round pick. I mean, he wouldn't have been a first rounder. The point is, yeah, I mean, not many teams go in to camp without a first round level quarterback. Like, rookies generally, you don't say, oh, we got a second rounder. I know that the Saints might be an exception this year, but generally, it's like, oh, we got a second rounder. We're going to hope he does the trick. That's not how every other team pretty much in the league has either a veteran who's proven or a high draft pick. Even first round picks aren't guaranteed to start. Like, nobody thinks Jackson Dart's going to be the week one star. I mean, maybe he will be, but generally, you have like something proven. This is the weirdest quarterback room in the NFL, don't you think?
Well, unless the Browns actually see Kenny Pickett as a first rounder and they think they can resurrect him. But here's
Kenny Pickett's definitely backup level.
No, but here's the thing. Well, now he's QB1 in Cleveland until further notice. But here, the Shador thing, like you're saying, Andrew Berry is so safe, their GM. I just don't see it, because if Shador in any way, if they actually like Dillon Gabriel, which you love, you just laid out how great he is in Stefanski's offense. He's a lefty, You brought in Shador and you brought a circus around a guy, because we're talking about it now in the middle of May. We're talking about how they're going to split their reps in training camp. I don't know if Andrew Berry played this one as well as he thought.
But what do you have to lose? I mean, I know there's going to be a lot of noise around Shador being there. But at the end of the day, he's a fifth-round pick. Remember, Mary Kay came on our show. She's like, they kind of view him as a fifth-round pick. They'll cut him like that.
Yeah, and we thought she sounded a little bit delusional there, because Shador brings eyeballs, and the Browns know this.
Well, I mean, Tebow got cut all over the place.
Not his first year.
Yeah, I mean, he won a playoff game, and they axed him. That was incredible.
Well, they also fired the coach, and they got rid of everybody.
Was it his second or third year?
Yeah, that was Peyton Manning coming in.
Yeah, I mean, well, listen, Cleveland, they might have the number one pick next year. They will definitely move on fast. I don't think they're scared of cutting Shador Sanders down the road.
Do you guys think that
matters to them?
It's not about that. It's about, do you think that having Shador there, if they really do love Dillon Gabriel, that undermines or threw a wrench into this competition?
Well, I think Dillon Gabriel's a third-round pick. He's not supposed to be a starter this year. Like, you don't draft a guy in the third round to be a starter. He is a backup who in maybe 2 or 3 years develops into a starter, right? Isn't that what a third-round quarterback is?
And I just said, how many quarterbacks do you think are going to start a game for the Browns this year? And I set the over-under at 2.5, said over.
It's a tryout. Yeah, but
okay,
I mean, like,
but you think he's going to get starts. Like, he might be a backup in the future, but you think he's going to get a shot
like
this
meaningless
year.
Starts, like tryout starts. Like, I think it's going to be week 12, and they're going to try Gabriel for a little bit, and then it's going to be week 15, and they're going to try Sanders for a little bit, see what they have, and then reassess after the year. I think that this, when you think of the big picture of the Browns, maybe the quarterback of the future is not there. I mean, Flacco and Pickett is nothing.
Right.
I mean, Flacco's 40. It's coming off the couch. And Kenny Pickett can barely hold on as a backup right now. The Eagles obviously were not thrilled with him. I can tell you that as a fact.
Yeah.
Like Tanner McKee, everyone was like, ooh, I think they should start that guy over. He should be the backup, not Kenny Pickett. So I don't know like what the risk is here. If Kevin Stefanski is really going into a make or break year with this quarterback room, would you even want to do that if you were Stefanski?
I just don't know if they can afford to be 0-17.
They do have talent. They do. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, is this a throwaway year for the Browns?
Oh my God, yes. I mean, it is a. If they're 4-13, no one's going to be like, oh man, you blew it.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. But didn't they kind of blow it? Because it's their fault their quarterback room looks like this.
Why?
I know Deshaun's obviously taking up a lot of money, but you don't. That money, as you always say, that's a sunk cost. It's gone.
Yeah.
And honestly, you can't overpay for a quarterback. So we've learned that now. So it kind of is their fault that the quarterback room looks this bleak.
Well, they just don't want to invest in it. They don't want to bring in anyone big. Chipotle, Why is it? I don't understand why taking Shedeur Sanders in the fifth round makes their quarterback room any worse. I mean, it was just, it's a total flyer. A fifth round quarterback. If his name wasn't Shedeur Sanders and he was drafted in the fifth round, we wouldn't even, there's no way we'd be talking about it. Like Will Howard or who's the guy in the sixth round? I'm just saying normally, and you say he's not a normal fifth round pick.
He's not.
But he's definitely not a first round quarterback. Like,
we thought he was until like a month ago.
Chipotle.
I can't do that disassociation from reality thing.
So you're going to treat him like a first rounder?
No, it's not. I'm treating him. He's going to get attention like he's a first rounder. The fall made this story even bigger.
But from a team building perspective, you're not going to view him as a first rounder anymore. You can't. He didn't go in the first round.
No, but if I really want to build a team and if I really think Dylan Gabriel might be even my backup of the future, I'm not bringing in Shedeur to muddy the water.
I mean, what's the big deal? Really, like, does this, again, I know what you're saying, but this is not, that's the least of their problems, that Shedeur is going to get in Dylan Gabriel's way.
And let's not forget Shiloh.
You're paid in the way.
let's not forget Shiloh.
That's the problem with the Browns. I mean, we're looking at possibly, what about Garrett Nussmeier and Cade Klubnik and Drew Aller and Shedeur and Dylan Gabriel? That is, I'm not worried about the rookies. I'm worried about, hey, what is this team going to be? I got to get Flacco out there and I got to establish something. Because, I mean,
all right,
you're worried
establish that. Establish something with Flacco. What? You're basically saying the season is a throwaway.
Yeah, I mean,
and go 4-13 and get another shot, another bite at the apple. Why the hell would I put Flacco out there? He could accidentally win me some games if that's my. You're riding both rails here.
No,
you realize that.
You got to go through. You got to take your shot. If the Flacco thing doesn't work, your big home run swing doesn't work in the first 5 weeks, then boom, then it's tryout season.
Flacco was your big home run swing.
Yes, Flacco's got it.
Deshaun was your big home run swing. That didn't work. Flacco is a safety net plan C.
Flacco, no. There's nothing safe about Joe Flacco. He is going to throw that ball down the field and someone's going to catch it. It's going to be your receiver, their cornerback. It's going to be amazing. I was looking at David Njoku's game logs with Joe Flacco. He averages about 120 yards a game. This is going to be a very exciting first five games with Joe Flacco and then a very interesting rest of 12 with a hodgepodge of Pickett. I love it.
But you think Flacco is going to win the job?
I think Flacco is, yeah, I would bet on Flacco. But, yeah, I don't feel great about it.
Really convincing there.
Yeah, Flacco's your closer, man. He's coming in. If you're still hanging around in a playoff race, which, by the way, teams are because the season's just so freaking long. And you're right, Baltimore sometimes, Cincinnati definitely gets off to slow starts. Yeah. Baltimore sometimes can get off to slow starts, too. So maybe you're still kind of in it in the division. I mean, Pittsburgh, what's going on with their quarterback situation? When's Rodgers going to sign? How's that going to look? So I think Flacco comes in Sunday, November 30th against the San Francisco 49ers and takes you home from there.
Who's keeping them alive until that late in the year? Kenny Pickett?
Their defense in a run game.
Oh, my God. Against that schedule, I don't see it.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. What a cloudy, murky, weird quarterback room the Cleveland Browns have for us this year. How they got no primetime games is such a crime.
Will?
We need this. We need this like front and center. I want Al Michaels,
what?
Chris Collinsworth sliding in, talking about how silly this is.
I think you're the first person that says we have to watch Cleveland Browns national TV.
But they did have a great game. Remember, they played in the snow against Pittsburgh. Was that at night?
That was fun.
That was a great game.
Here's a guy.
But yeah, I actually understand. Like, this is exciting in May. In October, it'll be like, oh yeah, the Browns are still playing football. Would you really put them in prime time, or you just say?
Hell yeah.
I wouldn't. I would have given them a big zero.
Oh, I mean, let's look at the schedule.
I feel great.
How about the Ravens? Sunday, November 16th. It's a 4:25 game, so it's closer.
34-6.
November, they might have two wins in November.
Yeah, the Ravens have 14 better games on the schedule for prime time.
That's never stopped the Browns from being interesting.
Yes, it kind of has.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
They do have a standalone game. That's the Minnesota game. It's in Europe. 9:30 a.m.
What is that?
Yeah, that used to be the Jags spot. That is not exactly a badge of honor.
Well, Minnesota's going to be a good team. 888-710-4ISN, I think.
That game is going to be 19-16, and it's going to be a missed field goal at the end in Tottenham Spurs Stadium or whatever. Those games stink.
That's
all
my
the time.
Team right there.
This is why I don't bet on European games. The games in Europe.
Yes.
I can't do it. I never know what's going to happen. It's always a crapshoot. 888.
So you will bet on Euro basketball, though.
Olympiacos?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476.
Big European soccer match coming tomorrow.
Yeah. We got
Bogish all over it. Tottenham against Manchester United in the Europa League final.
What time?
That would be at 3 o'clock Eastern time.
That's right.
I was told this was the NIT of European soccer, Maggie. We don't have to watch.
Yes, more or less it is.
I was coming back from my trip to Mexico, and I was wearing my Knicks jacket.
Ah, los Knicks.
And I'm coming in, and the guy was like, oh, I'm going to the game tonight or tomorrow. I'm like, what? And I didn't realize that underneath my Knicks jacket, I was wearing my Tottenham jersey.
Oh, wow.
He was going really to Europe decked out. For that. I wasn't even thinking about Tottenham. You know, that's Spain. My EPL team.
That's in Spain, too. That's not in England.
Yeah, yeah. But he confused me. I looked at him like I was crazy. I was like, the Knicks don't play for 3 days. What are you talking about, bro? It's in Jamaica
Maybe he's
Station.
Just showing up to the Garden real early. Really wants to get a good seat. We do have basketball tonight, by the way. Western Conference Finals tips off. Of course, you've got your OKC in Minnesota, so that's going to be fun. Again, 888-710-4ISN, this Browns quarterback situation, what do you make of it? Are they actually going to compete this year, or is this going to be another tanking season for Cleveland? Coming up, how about the 49ers taking care of more business yesterday? They're on a tear. Get to that next. M&P.
Joof.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Blacko?
Welcome back. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Something from yesterday's show stuck with me.
What was that? We have a pretty memorable show.
A little issue. It was a small, subtle thing. An argument we had.
Is this that we didn't recognize that you were dressed like Scottie Scheffler? And that you were upset that we didn't...
That was on me. I forgot that I was dressed like Scottie Scheffler.
You were wearing just regular clothes. And somehow khakis we were supposed to get that.
Yeah, it was a sort of blue golf shirt. Kind of trying to be boring every man Scottie Scheffler.
I can't believe you guys
khakis and a blue shirt.
Like Perloff showed up looking like the front man from Kiss. And we were just like, we don't get it. Like, you were just dressed like you. You and Scheffler the same.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I see it today.
Yeah, you kind of look like Scheffler today.
No, I have my golf jacket on. I got this at Pebble Beach. I basically won a $400 gift certificate to the gift shop.
And wow.
This is what you get for $400 at Pebble Beach.
One shirt?
Yeah, basically.
Flex.
There wasn't a... It's only worth like $88, but they mark up everything by 300%.
Is this when you beat Nance in the putting competition?
No, Dan Patrick's show used to go to Pebble Beach every year for the Celebrity Pro-Am, and there was a lot of fun things going on. It was the greatest time ever. I actually would be sitting at a dinner table with Matt Ryan here and Clint Eastwood, two tables over, and Bill Murray. Didn't get to talk to any of them. But I have all these pictures of me like with Clint in the background pretending we're talking.
So two questions. How did you win the gift certificate? And two, what would be your opening line to Clint Eastwood? How do you start a conversation with that guy?
I mean, it's obvious what the... do you feel lucky? No. You don't. He had an aura, don't talk to me. He sort of kind of runs that tournament, famously. I think he was the mayor there, right around there. He's the mayor of Carmel or one of those towns. But he was probably 91 there.
Okay.
I think he's still working, maybe. I mean, he's incredible. But yeah, no, Clint Eastwood is someone you don't go up to. You could go up to anyone. You're very good about that. You would not have gone up to him.
I don't know what my opener would be to Clint Eastwood. That's a tough one.
No, and Bill Murray, forget it.
Bill Murray, I wouldn't be able to help myself.
I know what I would tell him.
Oh, Bill Murray, you would get the coldness like you've never seen before in your life.
That's the risk you take when you approach a famous person. You got to.
There's no one like him, though.
You know what you ask Clint Eastwood? You say, you're 90 years old. Why don't you stop working?
I'm not saying that to Clint Eastwood.
Bill Murray would shut you down in a way that would make you miserable for a month. He is mean.
I could quote a line from What About Bob?
He would hate you.
He would hate me.
If you quoted What About Bob, he wouldn't. He hates everybody, I think. But
I wouldn't go up to him and do the Caddyshack stuff about the llama.
Don't step on his foot like that guy in that viral video. You saw that video of that guy stepping on his foot?
Oh, he's,
no. He like he was ready to punch that guy in the face.
No, there's a lot of videos of people approaching Bill Murray and him not liking it.
Which is funny because there's a flip side of this thing where apparently Bill Murray comes up to people on the streets in New York City behind them and just covers their eyes. Mm. And then we look around, they see it's Murray, and he goes, no one will ever believe you. Like 15 people have the same story. The guy's a certified psychopath, but you can't approach him and he can do that to strangers.
Let's find him and you go approach him and see how it goes. Because I'll tell you, people were trying to approach him that night and it did not go well.
I feel like doing that to Bill Murray now.
What's that?
I feel like doing that to Bill Murray now. Just walking up behind him and guess who?
Here's the other part. You're at the celebrity pro-am, which is basically synonymous with you. How are you going to be a jerk at that thing? I get it. Someone interrupts your intimate dinner or, you know, you're just trying to go about your day. That I get celebrities being salty about. But you're literally at an event. How do you think people aren't going to come up to you?
You have no idea. Bill Murray, the rules are way different. He is, I mean, if you could go up to President Obama or President Trump easier than you go up to Bill Murray, he is. I think it was either Corey Pavin or Jim Furyk, who I totally glommed onto.
Yeah,
I'm
smart.
Like,
Giannis.
And then, you know who was great? Chris O'Donnell from, what's that movie?
Son of a Woman.
Son of a Woman, yeah. What a nice guy.
Yeah, I've interviewed him before. He's very nice.
I was hanging out with that crowd.
Yeah, that's a good crowd.
Yeah, no, there was an A-list crowd. I was,
Robin.
Yeah, but I said Chris O'Donnell, you mean Robin, right?
Yeah. He was A-list maybe for a moment.
Right, and his brother is, does he have a famous brother too?
Yeah, Neil.
Neil O'Donnell?
definitely not Neil.
That'd be amazing.
Anyway, Jerry O'Connell, are they brothers? Or am I? No, I have the wrong family. He's got we knew him through his first relative, like either his cousin or his brother. So he knew the Dan Patrick Show crew and was like hanging out with us all night. That's not what I was bothered about. None of this has anything to do with Bill Murray or Clint Eastwood or any
Robin.
Of those people.
Okay. What bothered you from yesterday's show?
I said, I think the expectations are changing. I thought everyone was down on the 49ers, and now everyone's back in. You're like, no one ever got down on the 49ers. Everybody was down on the 49ers. Their Super Bowl odds dipped. Their win total dipped. I feel like everyone was down on the 49ers. Then everyone's coming back in this week after they signed Brock Purdy. And you're like, you contested that I said that there was a dip in expectations.
Well, I think people saw the schedule, and they literally have, according to some metrics, the easiest schedule in the league.
But that was out there since January 3rd.
I can't help what Vegas does, but here's my thing.
Vegas hasn't changed at all. They've been, they still don't have them as a favorite. They're still 7th or 8th.
Yeah, I think they might be wrong about that. I mean, I guess here's the thing. The 49ers, so they get a contract extension done yesterday with Fred Warner. So in the span of, since Friday, they've now gotten two major contracts done. They got Brock Purdy done, and now Fred Warner. It's a 3-year, $63 million contract extension. It doesn't kick in, I don't think, until 2 years from now. He still had 2 years left on the deal, and now he gets 3 years on top of it. It's going to take him to the 2029 season or something like that. No, Bogus is shaking his head at me. What?
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the Manny show in my head.
All right, well, guys, let's do one show. So here's the thing. The 49ers haven't... I get being excited about this year because I think they, you know, got rid of some guys they probably needed to. The schedule is a lot easier, but they just re-signed their own guys. So, yeah, people can be excited that this didn't bleed into July or whatever, and that's good. That's definitely a good thing for the 49ers. But who do they add? 11 guys in the draft. Okay, get excited about that, but they just re-signed their own dudes.
I felt like a month ago when they were losing all their veterans, everyone was like, oh, this is coming to an end. I felt like people had given up on the Niners. I really do. I think that was the energy out there.
But I know. Some of the guys they got rid of were guys who were injured a lot.
You're saying that now. I think you were down on this team about a month and a half ago.
Well, what I was down on was the Brock Purdy contract and how deep this was going to linger into the season. And they proved me wrong on that. They got it done before Memorial Day.
So to you, it's the timing of these contracts that really makes you optimistic about them. At least more optimistic than a week ago.
Yeah, but see, I said this yesterday. There's a world where the Brock Purdy contract is not a slam dunk.
Yeah, by the way, I still think the Niners have a lot of issues. I just think that there has been a sea change in the viewpoint of this team after they signed Purdy. I really do. But, I mean, maybe I'm on an island on that one. I feel like people are like, wow, they didn't let it bleed in the training camp. They kind of know what they're doing now. But I think everyone was too down on them after last year because they were terrible last year.
Oh, it was bad. 6 wins. I mean, last place in the division.
Okay, so by the way, Chris O'Donnell's brother is John O'Donnell.
Okay.
Johnny O, which is a shirt where you see the guy with the surfboard, a very popular brand. That's Chris O'Donnell's brother.
Right?
Yes, so he was good friends with us, and that's how we knew Chris. I got him confused with all sorts of other brothers.
Yeah, Chris O'Donnell and Jerry O'Connell, definitely. might be related, but not brothers.
But John O'Donnell is the, you know, you guys know this brand, right?
I'm familiar with it, yeah.
Yeah, it's very popular in Macy's. Scotty Scheffler would wear it if he wasn't sponsored by Nike. It's a very big golf brand. Anyway, that's my O'Donnell story.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, there you go.
I got a Chris O'Donnell story. He came in at SI and he was very proud of the fact, and I kind of respect this, but he was very proud of the fact that he takes his kid to a lot of sporting events, right? This was many years ago. The kid was kind of younger, like six,
Let's
7 years
Knicks!
Old. And he takes him to a lot of sporting events, no matter what they are, baseball games, football, whatever, the whole deal. And he said it's very important to him that he doesn't always get free comped tickets. And he takes his kid and they sit in the nosebleed section to try to teach his child, you don't get everything free in life all the time. You gotta, you know, work for what, you know, for what, earn what you want. And that he wants his kid to see sports from all these different vantage points. You don't just get to sit in the front row in the comfy seats.
Hmm.
Made sure to get that across in the interview.
I think that's an unnecessary topper by you. You could have just let my O'Donnell story stick.
You guys didn't think that was interesting from Robin?
That was a topper.
All right.
I was just topped.
Who had the better story?
Well, mine was first. So I think that's going to get the...
Did I just one-up you?
Yeah, I felt like I was dropping a lot of names there, and you felt like you had to jump in with a topper.
I don't have anything else. I've never met Corey Pavin, let alone Eastwood. I just think it's also funny.
Yeah, Jim Furyk. Don't forget Jim Furyk. Furyk. Kind of looks like me.
And Perloff also is somehow the Bill Murray gatekeeper. You can't go up to Bill Murray. No.
Oh, my God. Please. I would love to watch you go up to Bill Murray. It would be. Well, maybe if you're a woman, it would be different.
By the way, I think Perloff's in a new movie. I've seen some set photos of a movie, and I think I know who Perloff is playing.
Who?
Dirty Harry sequel?
You're Galactus. Have you seen the Fantastic Four official photo of Galactus? It looks just like you.
Who?
Galactus.
What? Yeah, I did see the trailer. Who's Galactus?
No, what? Not the trailer. The picture, the promo picture of Galactus came out this weekend, and it looks like you. They keep saying it looks like Jeff Van Gundy, but I think it looks like you.
EJ. I saw that picture. It's 100% Van Gundy.
Right, no, I think it looks like Perloff.
That doesn't sound very complimentary.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't put Perloff in the Van Gundy category. He looks like he hasn't slept in a millennium.
Van Gundy.
But it's one of those, like, is it green or blue things? What I saw was a quote tweet that said, now I can't unsee this. And it was a response to a tweet that said, that's Jeff Van Gundy of this. And I didn't know who that was. I just saw Van Gundy's face in this, like, epic mega costume.
Oh, yeah, that does look like Van Gundy.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not taking that as a compliment.
I think it looks like you. Huh. Doesn't it like Perloff?
Okay. I don't think I'm on the right image.
Damn it.
I don't know. I don't get this.
Yeah, it looks a little like me, but it's definitely not a compliment. So,
and by the way, Galactus, you're a world eater. That's a great compliment. What are you talking about?
This is Ralph Ineson as the actor?
Maybe. I don't know. I forgot who's playing Galactus. Galactus is one of the greatest Marvel villains. If you're Galactus, that's baller.
You know, you've been away a little bit. You forget that you are not surrounded by four comic book nerds, TJ.
Will make $1 billion. Give me a break. Am I not doing that?
Shut up, EJ. You look like Galactus. Come on. Come back to Earth, EJ.
You're just talking about Chris O'Donnell. Who's talking about Chris O'Donnell in 15 years? What are you talking about?
I mean, fair.
He's definitely on an NCIS show right now.
Yeah,
Chris O'Donnell. So my mom is well aware of him.
Good for Chris. Why are you guys such nerds?
He's been on that show for 25 years.
Yeah.
Guy's probably got seven mansions.
And to use your argument, somehow like 27 million Americans watch that show every Tuesday night, so people are well aware of him.
NCIS LA. Yeah. He's been on there since 2009.
Let's see
how many
people watch
run.
Fantastic Four in a month.
That's pretty good for O'Donnell. Maybe just take your kid to the front row.
Let me just fill you in on Fantastic Four. There's been 26 Fantastic Four movies in the last 8 years, Maggie, and none of them have been good. So
you're telling me this might as well be Japanese. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
You think
about.
There are a lot of Spider-Man movies? They keep doing Fantastic Four until they bleed this brand into the ground.
There's another Spider-Man movie.
No.
In the works, yeah.
Oh, with Tom Holland.
Well, and I know what I saw was that one of the girls from Stranger Things is going to be Tobey Maguire's daughter.
Well, there's a lot of rumors going around. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
Whoa.
They thought she may be Mayday Parker. They thought she may be Jean Grey. They thought she may be Mary Jane. We don't know yet.
So there you go.
Suddenly a hush fell over the show. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, you're definitely on a different level here, which is fine. You're probably with the crowd, but remember, we're totally ignorant. And even I think I'm a Marvel fan, and I don't know Galactus. But I'm down
and we've
now.
We've never heard of the actor.
Sure.
Good for him, though. Folks, hang with us, will you? I'm not going to start an update right this second because we have a lot to get to, including we found out a lot more about our pal Giannis yesterday, and we'll tell you what we learned in a moment.
Snitches get stitches.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Good morning. Andrew Bogish has headlines for us on what was a busy night last night. We're setting up for an even bigger one tonight.
Guys, all your headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you can save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com.
I'm new in May.
Unfortunately, the Eagles are fairly good under Nick Sirianni. A Super Bowl title, another appearance in that game, a 48-20 overall record. So Sirianni gets a multi-year extension. We still don't know financial details. His original deal was expiring after the coming season.
Go Birds. So I'm an Eagles fan. I'm from Philadelphia.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Even I will admit, this Nick Sirianni turnaround is one of the craziest turnarounds in sports. Like when they were 2-2 last year, I would not have predicted in a million years that Nick Sirianni would be considered one of the better coaches in the NFL. Now I think he is.
Yeah, so I was a little off when I thought Nick Sirianni would be the first coach fired last year.
Yeah.
Slightly off.
But you really weren't that off.
So can I say something about this contract? I don't think this means anything. And here's
just a bit outside.
This is the thing about Sirianni. He's a vibes guy, right? He doesn't call the offense, and he doesn't have control over the defense. It's more of a game manager type thing, right?
I guess so.
Right. They got to the Super Bowl. They won the Super Bowl. They demolished the Kansas City Chiefs. I think a lot of people are giving Howie Roseman, the GM, more credit for that, for building this juggernaut team. And I think Nick Sirianni is one side eye from Jalen Hurts away from actually getting fired. Like, Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl. I'm sure he got an extension after they won that Super Bowl. They beat Tom Brady. I mean, it was no small thing. And I just don't think it means anything. I think Nick Sirianni could just as easily be out if they have two bad seasons.
Oh, so yeah. No, I've totally changed my opinion. Now I think he's the man. Highest winning percentage of any coach currently and fifth highest of all time. That's crazy.
Yeah, he came into an Eagles situation where they were really great. The Giants have been down. The Commanders until last year were down. Dallas has been up and down.
Yeah.
The
Commanders.
They play no quarterbacks like in two different playoff runs. You look at their last year they played every quarterback, but years before that they didn't. So he's got this gaudy win-loss record. I'm just still not sold on Sirianni. I'm sticking with my original opinion. Well, I think he'll be fired in the next 3 years if they don't perform.
I think he is a little safer than that. I understand where you're coming from. He's a lot of winning coaches have been fired.
Also, I don't think Howie Roseman likes, he saw Chip Kelly come in years ago and basically put him on ice. I don't think he wants a powerful coach anymore.
No, but they have a great relationship because I don't think Howie gets all the credit. That's all Howie wants. A couple things. If you watch the wired of the Super Bowl, Sirianni's in total control of the game. I think
they blew them out. this one was not even a game.
But I was at the party, and I noticed something, too. Like, oh, I'm like, Sirianni's the alpha in this room. There is no doubt about it. Like, this guy has so much more presence than I thought. He just won a Super Bowl, so it's easy to feel that way. I watch again. The sound of him during the game is like, oh, he is really in charge of this. Like, guys respond to him. I think that's probably the most important thing to the coach is that you can be a leader. Not that he's an X and O guy like Shanahan. I think he's just fine. I think, honestly, like, he's more likely to be a Hall of Fame coach than to get fired in 3 years.
The only thing that stopped him is the dry heat of Arizona. So you just stay away from that in a Super Bowl, and you're fine.
Because he was tired.
And that was your take when they fell apart 2 years ago, that they were the hangover of the Super Bowl.
It's how the NBA works. If you play too long into the offseason, then you're tired. Actually, I do think that way. That's not a bad take. I've had worse takes.
Go Bird!
Well, Super Bowl hangover is one thing. Were they 10-1, and then they went 1-5, and you said it was the Super Bowl.
They were worn down. They played into February, right? That's
in the heat, dry heat. Let's move on to still Philadelphia.
That's a onesie. There are a couple takes that you really bother you right about that.
I just think that one was funny. I'm not bothered by it.
Feels like
by this, maybe
awkward silence.
In many respects, 3-2 is blasted way back to right field.
And that hits off the third deck. A Titanic blast from Kyle Schwarber.
Scott Fransky on Phillies Radio. That was homer number 16. This season, number 300 career for Kyle Schwarber. Oh, it went roughly 400 and a million feet off the facing of the third deck and right at Coors Field. The Phils running away late for a 9-3 win over those pesky or terrible Rockies. Philly is 16-5 over the last 3 weeks. They now have a half-game lead on the Mets atop the NL East because New York lost at Fenway last night, 3-1. They've now dropped four of their last five. The Diamondbacks, 9-5 winners at Dodger Stadium. The Royals, a 3-1 win in San Francisco. Chris Bubik, 7 shutout. Sonny Gray, K-10 over 6. As the Cardinals took care of the Tigers, 11-4. St. Louis has won 13-15. And the Marlins remain good at this.
Two men out in the bottom of the ninth. And the 2-1. That one ripped down the first baseline. That's in for a base hit. This could win it. It's rolling all the way to the wall. Hill in to tie it. Sanoja in to win it. And it's a walk-off two-run double for Jesus Sanchez. The Marlins' magic continues.
That's walk-off win number 6 already this season for the Marlins. 8-7 over the Cubs after wasting a 6-3 lead.
That's like half of their wins.
Yeah, the winning rally began after they were down to their last strike. WNBA last night, Paige Bueckers and the Wings still winless, 0-2 after a 79-71 home loss to the Storm. Bueckers, 19 points and 8 assists. And I don't think I mentioned this yesterday. During Game 7 for the Leafs and Panthers, referee Chris Rooney took a stick to the face very close to his right eye. He was bleeding profusely as he was let off the ice. But since he's a hockey guy, Rooney wants to work again this postseason. He, of course, needed stitches, but there's no lasting damage to that eye, thankfully. Guys, back to you.
Maggie, by the way, yeah. I just got an update from the control booth. You know, you have Shohei in the Megan Prof home run derby.
17 homers.
Yeah, because I thought, Schwarber might be leading the league. Shohei's got 17.
I know.
You should be talking more trash about this.
He's carrying my home run derby team.
Who are your other two? We have three.
Have Ellie De La Cruz, and I have Vlad Guerrero Jr., which was a big miss. I thought that he wasn't going to sign the contract this year, and he was going to have like this prove-it season.
Yeah.
And he signed the contract like 4 days in.
Now we're cruising.
5 home runs for Vlad Guerrero Jr.
Rough.
How many does Matt Olson have?
Keep looking. Okay, this Giannis Ask Me Anything was really hilarious to us for a variety of different reasons. First of all, Giannis, how bored can you be? You're clearly meeting with the team tomorrow, right? This is when the big showdowns or the big meetings happening tomorrow between Giannis and the Bucks. And Giannis is now open to playing somewhere else. So he's answering all these questions on social media. One said, of all the cities you've ever been to, which city made you the happiest to be there, not counting your own hometown? Giannis, the Florida cities. So Miami and Orlando? Okay.
Yeah, that's yours.
Giving hints?
I would think the Heat, because they were linked to him before.
What's your
ball?
But Orlando might be the more like up and coming. Is there a team in Jacksonville? What's your favorite city to play in on the road? New York.
Knicks.
Everyone loves the Garden.
Take me to the Garden.
Okay. That seems like he likes the Knicks. You're confusing me now.
Well, and then he was asked, who is your starting all-time starting five? Steph, MJ, Kobe, KD, and LeBron. Three of these guys are still playing. Does he want to play with Steph? Does he want to play with Kevin Durant somehow? Does he want to team up with LeBron James? Are we supposed to read anything into that?
Well, that's more like you gotta see those guys, so you gotta put them on your all-time team. You can't put a retired guy. Like, you gotta play LeBron. Of course you could put him.
Well, but he has Jordan, obviously, and then Kobe, may he rest in peace. I don't know. These guys are still active. He could play with Kevin Durant if they really wanted to.
That one I'm not reading as much into the other ones. We're very specific. That one is a little more vague.
How about this? A funny one. First ever NBA jersey that he had as a kid. A fake Carmelo Anthony Denver jersey.
Love it.
I had that jersey. Not fake, though.
Look at you. And do you have a favorite NFL team now that you've been in the States for a while? He went Packers and Dallas Cowboys.
Does someone
want to get Giannis, like, the history of those two teams?
You can't do that one.
You can't root for both those teams.
That sounds like LeBron-ish, though. Like, he's following LeBron. The GOAT is
But at least LeBron did the Browns and the Cowboys, different conferences. You can't; those teams play in the playoffs.
Well, he's got
a huge history.
But it's the same thing because he's got to say the Packers because it's his hometown team. But he's secretly a Cowboys fan. That's what's going on.
That's unfortunate.
And his favorite genre of music, heavy metal.
I don't believe that.
It's a weird one.
Did you see the movie too? Do the movie.
I saw his favorite TV show is Game of Thrones.
Coming to America, favorite movie.
Coming to America. That makes sense. Said it reminded him a lot of his. Is that what he said?
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminds me of my childhood. Coming to America.
So, by the way, Bogus, you just said it. You don't want him in Brooklyn? Aren't you going to make a play? Because I'm trying desperately on social media to get Giannis to come to the Sixers. Don't we all want Giannis?
How much heavy metal do they have in Brooklyn these days?
As much as he needs.
Can they lure him? What kind of heavy metal concert?
Yeah, Knicks fans over there, you should be making your play.
They don't need him.
We're in the conference finals right now. I can't focus on Giannis offseason.
EJ doesn't have time for this, guys, okay? He's got to focus on the Pacers.